Nehemiah chapter 9. On the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and putting dust on their heads. Those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the sins of their ancestors. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day and spent another quarter in confession in worshipping the Lord their God. Standing on the stairs of the Levites were Jeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Bani, Sherebiah, Bani, Kenani. They cried out to the Lord in loud voices to the Lord their God. And the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Habishani, Sherebiah, Hodaniah, Shebaniah, and Pethathiah said, "Stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessings and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host, the earth and all that is on it, the sea and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. You are the Lord God, who chose Abraham and brought him out of Ur and Chaldeans and named him Abraham. You found his heart faithful to you, and you made a covenant with him to give his descendants the land of Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Jebusites, and Girgashites. You have kept your promise because you are righteous. You saw the suffering of our ancestors in Egypt. You heard their cry at the Red Sea. You sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his officials and all the people of his land, for you knew how arrogantly the Egyptians treated them. You made a name for yourself, which remains to this day. You divided the sea before them, so that they passed through it on dry ground. But you hurled their pursuers into the depths like a stone into mighty waters. By day you led them with a pillar of cloud, and by night with a pillar of fire, to give them light on the way they were to take. You came down on Mount Sinai. You spoke to them from heaven. You gave them regulations and laws that are just and right, and decrees and commands that are good. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and gave them commands, decrees, and laws through your servant Moses. In their hunger, you gave them bread from heaven, and in their thirst, you brought them water from the rock. You told them to go in and take possession of the land you had sworn with uplifted hands to give them. But they, our ancestors, became arrogant and stiff-necked, and they did not obey your commands. They refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore, you did not desert them, even when they cast for themselves an image of a calf and said, 'This is your God, who brought you up out of Egypt,' or when they committed awful blasphemies. Because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the wilderness. By day, the pillar of cloud did not fail to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on the way they were to take. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. For 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and nor did their feet become swollen. You gave them kingdoms and nations, allotting to them even the remotest frontiers. They took over the country of Sihon, king of Heshbon, and the country of Og, king of Bashan. You made their children as numerous as the stars in the sky, and you brought them into the land that you told their parents to enter and possess. Their children went in and took possession of the land. You subdued before them the Canaanites who lived there in the land. You gave the Canaanites into their hands, along with their kings and the peoples of the land, to deal with them as they pleased. They captured fortified cities and fertile land. They took possession of houses filled with all kinds of good things, wells already dug, vineyard, olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance. They ate to the full and were well nourished. They reveled in your great goodness. But they were disobedient and rebelled against you. They turned their backs on your law. They killed your prophets who had warned them in order to turn them back to you. They committed awful blasphemies. So you delivered them into the hands of their enemies who oppressed them. But when they were oppressed, they cried out to you from heaven, you heard them, and in your great compassion you gave them deliverers, who rescued them from the hands of their enemies. But as they were at rest, they again did what was evil in your sight. They abandoned them to the hand of their enemies, so that they ruled over them. And when they cried out to you again, you heard from heaven, and in your compassion you delivered them time after time. You warned them in order to turn them back to your law, but they became arrogant and disobeyed your commands. They sinned against your ordinances, of which you said, the person who obeys them will live by them. Stubbornly, they turned their backs on you, became stiff-necked, and refused to listen. For many years, you were patient with them. By your spirit, you warned them through your prophets. Yet, they paid no attention. So you gave them into the hands of the neighboring peoples. But in your great mercy, you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. Now, therefore, our God, the great God, mighty and awesome, who keeps his covenant of love, do not let all this hardship seem trifling in your eyes. The hardship that has come on us and on our kings and leaders, on our priests and prophets, on our ancestors and all your people, from the days of the king of Assyria until today. In all that has happened to us, you have remained righteous. You have acted faithfully while we acted wickedly. Our kings, our leaders, our priests, and our ancestors did not follow your law. They did not pay attention to your commands or the statutes you warned them to keep. Even while they were in their kingdom, enjoying your great goodness to them in the spacious and fertile land you gave them, they did not serve you or turn from their evil ways. But see, we are slaves today, slaves in the land you gave our ancestors so that they could eat its fruit and other good things it produces. Because of our sins, its abundant harvest goes to the kings you have placed over us. They rule over our bodies and our cattle as they please. We are in great distress. In view of all...
That's it. Carried on. Thank you. Amy, shall we pray? And then we'll have a think about that long Bible reading together. God, our Father, we want to say thank you this morning for the Bible. Father, we've already sung that it's a light and a hammer, it's a fire and a sword. And we ask, Father, that we would have that experience this morning as we listen to this part of the Bible together. Father, please would it be light to us, and would it cut us to the heart? Would it show us how to live, and would it show us Jesus? And we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, I want to think about this little word this morning, okay? Should we say the word together? One, two, three. Sorry. Oh, some people have got a good expression with this word. Should we say it one more time? Very good. It's just a small word, isn't it? And particularly this morning, what I want us to be thinking about as a church family, whether we're younger here or a little bit older, is the place, particularly among those of us that follow the Lord Jesus, of saying sorry to God, saying sorry for the wrong things that we've done. Now, here's an honesty moment. Has anyone had to say this word already today? Nobody. A few people have. Yeah, a few people have said sorry in the room this morning. Yeah, a few people have said this. That's a better question to ask is, are there things you should have said that word for this morning? Anyone? Perhaps you should have said that this morning? It's a really difficult word to say, isn't it? Maybe the grown-ups would admit this as well. Sometimes it's just a really hard word to get out. Sorry. You don't want to say it, do you? Because it's admitting that you've done something wrong. And maybe if you're a little bit younger here, you have people who say to you regularly, perhaps a teacher might say, look, you've done this, what should you say? And they give you that look, what should you say? And you know what you could say, and you say, sorry, like that. Anyone said that, the mumbly sorry? And then they say, no, come on, say it like you mean it, and you say, sorry, like a little bit louder, a little bit more grumbly. But it's a really difficult word to say, isn't it? So what does it mean if we say sorry to somebody? What does it mean? Any ideas? What does it mean? Eleanor, what do you think it means? Yeah, that's it. If someone hits you, they should say sorry to you. Yeah, because they've done something wrong. That's what it means. When you say sorry to somebody, you are admitting, now here's a word we're going to learn, confessing that you have done something wrong. That's what the word sorry means. And perhaps tied in with this word sorry, we might also mean, I'm sorry, please forgive me. So let's take Eleanor's example. If someone's kind of hit you and they say sorry, they're asking, please forgive me. And maybe when we use the word sorry, sometimes we even mean, I'm going to try really hard not to do it again. So that's what the word sorry means. So we say it one more time, one, two, three.
Sorry.
Brilliant. Great joining in. It's not so hard to say, is it? But here's the reason I want us to think about this word sorry this morning. And the reason I want us to think about this word sorry is that in Nehemiah chapter 9, the bit of the Bible that Amy read to us, what we discover in this part of God's word is that actually there is a very big place, it plays a very important part in the life of God's people to be saying sorry to God. It's an important part of our relationship with God being restored. See, as God goes about this great building project in Nehemiah of putting his people back together again, restoring them to himself, we discover a great crowd of people who are saying sorry to God. And that's true whether it's back in Nehemiah's day or whether we fast forward to today to God's building project of the church. It plays a really important part among God's people to be saying, should we say this word, one, two, three?
Sorry.
And that is because in Nehemiah chapter 9, this is what we learn, okay? In Nehemiah 9, we learn that reading the Bible should cause us to say sorry. Let me put this up here, and then we'll put a picture of people reading the Bible. Nehemiah 9 teaches us that it's important when we read the Bible, it should cause us to say sorry. That's true whether you were all the way back in Nehemiah's day, or it's true whether you're part of God's people today in the church. Now, who has a favorite book? Who likes reading books? You like reading books? You like reading books? What's your favorite book, William? Do you have a favorite book? Yeah. A football book. Yeah. What's your favorite book? What's that one? Keeper of the Lost Cities. That sounds good. I take note of that one. That sounds good. But when we read books, go on, let's have one more. Eleanor, what's your favorite one? Your Elsa and Anna book. So we like reading stories, and sometimes when you read a story, it can cause you to do some certain things. Like we have a book at home, which I used to read with my kids when they were little, called Who's in the Loo? And it is a hilarious book. And you'd be reading this story, and it would actually make you laugh out loud. Have you had a story like that, that just makes you laugh out loud? Or perhaps you read a story, and sometimes it makes you cry. See, as we read books sometimes, it can cause us to do certain things. And do you know what? The Bible is no different. As we read the Bible together, it should cause us to say sorry to God. That's what's going on in Nehemiah chapter 9. So if you've got grown-ups, you've got a Bible, have a look at verse 3. They stood where they were, and they read from the book of the law for a quarter of the day. So here's a big crowd of people, and they've got a Bible open. They're standing there. Someone's reading for 3 hours. Now, those of you who complain that we go on a little bit in church here, 3 hours they stood, and they read the Bible, and they had it taught to them from the front. And as they read the Bible together, as they heard the stories from the Bible, what do they do? Verse 3, let's look on. Then they spent a quarter of the day, another quarter of the day, confessing. That means they spent a quarter of the day saying sorry to God. Now why? Why does reading the Bible cause us to say sorry? Well, let me give you two reasons, and this I'm going to need a little bit of help, okay? The first reason is this. As we read the Bible together, the stories of the Bible show us that God is good. Can we say that together? God is good. Now, we know this is what they heard because of the way they pray. Now, can I have some helpers, please? Let's have a few helpers this morning. Anyone want to come and hold something for me? Yeah, come on, jump up here. I need about 6 or 7 of you. So jump up. Do you want to come up? You can come first. Ready? Come on up. Let's go, go, go. So here's what they read in the Bible on that day. For 3 hours, they read the story. Yep, jump on up. So you can go first. So if you have a Bible there, that's the picture of the world, have a look with me at verse 6. Because it says in verse 6, God is good. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. So as they read the Bible stories, they heard that God is good because God is the creator. And then they read the story of Abraham. Can you hold that one? We read that in the next verse along. Let's have a look if you've got a Bible there. You read it in verse 7. You, the Lord, you chose Abraham. So they've heard the story about how God, even though after he made the world, people turned against him, he called this man named Abraham, and he made some wonderful promises to Abraham to love him and his descendants forever. And through this man, Abraham, he would bless all the people of the world. What a wonderful thing. And then we heard the story of Moses. So Moses was the descendant of Abraham, and Abraham's descendants ended up in slavery in Egypt. And as they ended up in slavery in Egypt, their life was horrible and life was hard, and they called out to God, and God sent a rescuer. He rescued them from their slavery in Egypt. Now I need somebody else. Anyone else going to leap up? Yeah, come on, jump on up. I need another three of you, if that's okay. Go on then, do you want to come on up? Yep. Louise, do you want to come on up as well? Yep, do you want to come up? Wonderful. Come up here. So once he'd rescued them out of Egypt, they then heard the story. That needs to go this way. Is that all right? Because he led them. So he didn't leave them on his own. He led them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and he led them on a journey. And then once he'd led them, he then spoke to them. So then that story of the Ten Commandments, if you're grown-ups, you're kind of following, because I've drifted from my Bible, it's just over there. But if you're following through, this is what they read in the Bible. This is what they're responding to. So he spoke to them on Mount Sinai, and he gave them his words, and he said, look, this is how you should live. And then once he'd spoken to them, he fed them. He gave them food for their journey. He gave them bread from heaven. He gave them water from a rock. And all these stories reminded them, can we say it together, that God is good. God is good. How good is he? He made us. He made promises to us. He rescued people when they got in trouble. He led them. He spoke to them. He fed them. God is good. And as they read the Bible, it showed them that truth. But guys, are you okay to stand there for a second? But there's something else that happened as they read the Bible story. It didn't just show them that God is good. It showed them, can we say this together? We are bad. It showed them that God is good, but these same Bible stories showed them that we are bad. Zebby, can I borrow you for a second? Is that all right? Now, I want you to imagine, what's this? Anyone know what this is? Any of you bother to use one of these things? That's it. It's a mirror, isn't it? It's a mirror. So I want you to imagine that, you know, Zebby here has had his toast in the morning, okay? And Zebby has got well stuck into his toast, and he's got a little bit of chocolate spread on his cheek there. Oh, there it is, yeah. And that's tasty. And no, so Zebby's about to go to school, okay? Now, how's Zebby going to know that he has chocolate spread on his face? What's he need? He needs to have a look in the mirror. And when you have a look in the mirror, what could he do? He sees what he looks like, doesn't he? That's what a mirror does. And you can go and lick that off now. It's okay. It's my son, by the way. This isn't just gross. This is there you go. So there you go. So you look in a mirror, and it shows you what you're like. And the same is true when we come to the Bible. So do you want to hold the mirror for me? You're okay with a bit of chocolate. You can have that later. So here we go. We've got a mirror. A Bible's like a mirror that shows us what we look like. And as they read all of these stories, so that God is good, he created the world, there's Abraham and there's Moses, and he led them and he spoke to them and he fed them. Actually, when they started to look into these stories, what they discovered is that they saw what they looked like as well. Because in the Bible, let's have a quick look at verse 16 and 17. In the Bible, we discover that what were the people like when God was being so good? Look at verse 16. But they, our ancestors, became arrogant and stiff-necked, and they did not obey God's commands. So even though God was good, as they read these stories, they looked in the mirror and they saw that they were bad. People didn't listen to God. They didn't love him. They refused. And it goes on, and we read more stories. They read more stories that, well, actually, even though they were bad, God kept on being good. He kept on leading them. He kept on speaking to them. He kept on feeding them, but they kept on disobeying. And this cycle goes round and round. And I don't know if you heard it as Amy read, but it told the whole history of God being good, but them being bad. God being good, but them being bad. And as they stood on this day and they read from the Bible, do you know what? Were they any better? Were the people standing and listening any better? No. They recognize, come with me, grown-ups, if you've got a Bible, to verse 32. Now, therefore, our God, the great God, mighty and awesome, who keeps his covenant of love, do not let these things seem trifling in your sight. Actually, they begin to see, sorry, that my mistake. I've lost my place. Where's it gone? Bear me a second. I'm going to just quickly look at this. I'm in the wrong place. Verse 33. I do mean verse 33. Because look at what they say in verse 33. In all that has happened to us, you have remained faithful and righteous. You have acted faithfully while we have acted wickedly. So actually, the people standing and listening to the Bible, they've heard all these stories from the past, but are they any better? No. As they look into the mirror, they see that they've done something wrong too. Great. Do you guys want to put all this down? Sorry, Zib, you can go and toilet. Yeah, you can go and clear that up. Good. Do you want to put that down for a second? Wonderful. Just pop them down there. Thank you so much. Just give them a round of applause for helping. Thanks very much. You see, here is a crowd of people. And as they gather together and they read from the Bible, it caused them to say, sorry. It caused them to say, we've acted wickedly, because in those stories they saw that, can we say this together? God is good and we are bad. And friends, here's what we're learning together today. As we gather together as a church, or as you read the Bible by yourself at home, or as you go up to Treasure Hunters each week and look at the Bible stories together, when we read the Bible, it shows us exactly the same thing. It shows us that God is good, and it shows us that we are bad. Now, what do we mean by bad? Well, some of us are quite nice people to be around. But by bad, we mean that like the people in the past, we haven't loved God as we should. We haven't obeyed him as we should. And as we look into the mirror of God's word, it shows us what we're like. And it should cause us to say, should we do this together? Sorry. And actually, the Bible tells us that God is good. And we've got even more stories than they have, because we've got the story of the cross. We've got the story of how good God is. We've got a story that shows us, look, he loved us so much that even though we've spent our whole history as humans running away from God and doing the opposite to what he wants us to do, God is good because he sent Jesus into this world to love us and forgive us. And so God is good, but we are bad. And when we read stories like that week after week, it should cause us to say, sorry. Can I ask you this morning, have you ever said sorry to God? Have you ever said sorry that you haven't loved him the way we should? Have you ever said sorry? Perhaps for the first time as you read the Bible, it should cause you to say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that from all the way through history, we have not obeyed you. We have not loved you. We have not been what you made us to be. I'm sorry. Have you ever said that to God? And as we go on reading the Bible, church family, some of us have had a moment in our lives when we first came to realize that we need to say sorry to God. But actually, what about as we go on? Well, the Bible, as we read it week after week, is like a mirror. And it points out things that we do wrong. Sometimes we might be sitting in church and it suddenly think, oh, that's wrong and I shouldn't be doing that. And it should cause us to say, sorry. Sorry, God. Just like it does for the people in our story today. And Nehemiah chapter 9 teaches that it's not just saying sorry for our sins, but actually we can be praying and saying sorry for the sins of the community, for the sins of the world. We can be saying, Lord, we're sorry. We're sorry that as a human race we have not loved you as we should. And we should be saying sorry together. So here's the first thing. Reading the Bible should cause us to say sorry. Why? Because the Bible shows us that God is good, but we are bad. And that, as we read those stories, should make us say sorry, just like it does in Nehemiah 9. But here's the second thing. It shouldn't just make us say sorry. Actually, reading the Bible should make us say, can we do this together? Save me. Can you do that? Save me. So we say sorry, and we say save me. Now imagine for a moment that you had been told by your parents that you must never go and play in this woods, maybe up at Hillyfields or something. You should never go there and play by yourself. And one day you're feeling particularly naughty and you think, oh, I'm gonna head off and I'm gonna go and play in this woods all by myself. And when you're in the woods, you're having a great time, but then suddenly you fall down a big hole. And there you are, you're sitting at the bottom of this hole, and you start to feel really sorry. Oh, I've done something wrong, I shouldn't have come to the woods, and I feel really bad. And so you pick out your mobile phone, imagine that you've got one, you pick out your mobile phone, and you call up your grown-ups and you say, oh, I've done a terrible thing, I'm really sorry, I've done something bad, I'm at the bottom of a hole, I went to the woods that I shouldn't do, and I'm so, so sorry, bye. And then you put that down. Now that would be a bit crazy, wouldn't it? Because you're stuck at the bottom of a hole. So you don't just want to say sorry. What do you want to say to your grown-ups? You want to say, save me, help me, get me out of the bottom of this hole. And that's exactly what we discover they do in Nehemiah chapter 9. They don't just say sorry to God. They actually say, save me. So have a look at verse 32. Grown-ups, if you've got a Bible there, you can have a look at this. Now, therefore, our God, the great God, mighty and awesome, who keeps his covenant of love, do not let all this hardship seem trifling in your eyes. The hardship that has come on us, on our kings and our leaders, and on our priests and our prophets, and on our ancestors and all people from the days of the kings of Assyria until today. Please, God, look at the trouble we're in and help us. Or again, look at verse 36. But see, God, he says, we are slaves today, slaves in the land you gave our ancestors so they could eat its fruits and the other good things it produces. Because of our sins, its abundant harvest goes to the kings you have placed over us. They rule over our bodies and our cattle as they please. We are in great distress. They don't just say, sorry. They are saying, save me. Please get me out of this mess. See, here is a group of people back in Nehemiah 9 who had been restored by God, but they still lived under the curse of their punishment. They still lived under the rule of Babylon, and they wanted to be free. They wanted life to be restored properly, life with God to the full. And so they prayed, save me. Please forgive me. And you know what, boys and girls and grown-ups, as we read the Bible, it should cause us to do the very same thing. It should cause us to say sorry to God, but it should also cause us to pray, save me. The New Testament tells us that the Bible is able to make us wise, clued up for how to be saved by trusting Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:15. And so as we read the Bible, it should cause us to say, Jesus, save me. Have you ever prayed that? As the Bible's kind of brought you to understand that we are in the wrong and we've done something wrong, have you ever prayed, Jesus, save me? The wonderful thing is that 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and he died on a cross for all the sins of those who would come to him and say, sorry, save me. Jesus came so that we could be forgiven. And so we should be praying, perhaps for the first time this morning, sorry, God, sorry that I've not lived the way you want me to. Please save me. Save me from what I deserve. And what about those of us who've already prayed that? Well, actually, that is something we go on praying. Actually, this is a regular part of the community life of God's people, the people he's restoring to himself, his new Jerusalem. We are people who should be constantly saying, God, I'm sorry. Please save me. Doesn't mean that we're asking Jesus to go to the cross all over again, but it does mean that we're saying, Jesus, I needed you to die for this sin that I'm saying sorry for as much as for any other sin. Jesus, please save me. And so friends, boys and girls, you've listened really well this morning. Here are some things that I hope become a regular part of our life of worshiping God together. As we read the Bible, it should cause us to say, sorry, and it should cause us to say, save me. And may that become a regular part of what we do. And if you're here this morning and you've never said these two things to God, then can I urge you to do that today? Can I urge you today to say, God, I'm sorry. Sorry that I've not lived the way you want me to. Sorry that I've refused you. And would you please save me by trusting Jesus Christ? Should we do that together? Should we say a prayer about that, and then we'll sing a song. Our God and our Father in heaven, we want to be quick this morning to say sorry. As we read the stories of the Bible from Adam and Eve, all the way through to the people of Israel, and all the way through to our very own lives, we want to say sorry that we have not loved you and obeyed you as we should. We deserve what you give us, but we want to say, save us. Please forgive us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And ultimately, we want to pray, save us. Save us from this world where we live under the curse of sin, where we still live, as it were, under some rule of Babylon. Please would you save us. Save us from our sins. Save us from what we deserve. And we ask all this, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.